I have no problems with kids making noises. It actually makes me happy because they're the next generation. They're the ones that we're here for, to teach them about God and God's Word. And now, 2 weeks ago, we started a new series titled Powerful Passages. It was the kickoff. And we began by looking at Philippians chapter 3 and how you can stand firm in the Lord. Now, I got to be honest, I'm running about 50 to 60% right now. And that's better than 5%, which I was earlier this week. I was going to bring a chair up here just in case, but I decided against it. And I know it will break your heart, but there's a very real possibility that my message this morning will be shorter than my normal. And at this time, I could say, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to place your bets on whether the message will be under or over my normal 45 to 50 minutes. Odds are 50-50 right now. So place your bets. All right. Let's do this. Powerful passages. We're going to unpack this morning, January 1st, 2024, and let's pray that the Holy Spirit will move powerfully in and among our time of study today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, to listen to your word, to sing songs of praise. And Lord, you deserve so much more than we can give. But take our meager offering and bless it. Bless us. Lift up this church body. Allow us to face those things ahead and forget about those things that are behind us. And Lord, we look forward to you. And may we keep our eyes focused on Jesus at all times. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. So, determined to live more fully the life that He, God, created us to live. Because right now, like right at this very moment, as I read this week, and I read this week in Revelation chapter 4, 5 through 11. Sorry, my eyes are not working real well today. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne were four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took out the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and nation and people, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" You look around and you say, is he talking about us? Is he talking about the people sitting in this room today? Well, yes, he is. It's really good at times to remind ourselves whose presence that we are in right now, and whose presence we're gathered together to worship, and whose words we're about to hear. Amen? Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to only read the first four verses. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. If you're there in your Bible, say amen. Amen. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. In the last 72 hours, I've had some powerful times with God. Sometimes wishing I was dead, other times wishing that I did not have the migraine headache that was going on. Especially early on when I was unsure whether I would get better and be able to preach God's word today. But it seems like I always get better on Sundays. After I leave church, that may be another story, but we'll see how it goes. And brothers and sisters, this is a huge question that began to take root in my heart and my spirit this week. And that question was why. And let me tell you, those three letters, W-H-Y, why, kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger all week long. In fact, they continue to grow even today. And listen, this huge why was not why did I have to get sick, but rather why does God answer some prayers and the prayers of so many others with a yes, and sometimes God says no, or wait. Like, did God choose to bless my life with the first by keeping me alive through the 22 crazy, reckless years of military service, where I should have died many times? And the healing that took place afterwards, why me? Why not somebody else? And early Friday morning, those three letters and that word why me, grew a little bit bigger again. I read on a Facebook news feed about a young friend of mine who had just hit 22 years in the military. So when I retired, he had only been in for 4 years. And he had gone home to be with the Lord. I even read some of his earlier updates his wife Carrie had made, and they seemed a lot like the ones that I had made several times while I was serving. Why? Why me? Why you? Why does God choose to bless us? Now you're looking around and you're saying, wait a minute, we're having church in a gym, all right? This side of the building is charcoal and ashes, right down to the studs. What do you mean? Why is God blessing us? Well, if you looked around the world today, you're pretty lucky. You can worship in public. You can carry around a Bible. You can spread the name of Jesus without being thrown in jail or arrested or worse. Why me? Why not this friend of mine? Why not his wife's prayers or the prayers of his friends? Why did God choose to heal? And listen, as this three-letter word kept pressing in both my heart and my spirit, it started to become so much broader than just my situation and my journey back to health and the migraine that I was suffering from. Brothers and sisters, why does God choose to bless us? Why did and why does He choose to bless you? Question. Why did God choose to bless you with the incredible gift of living in what has been the best, the most free, and the most prosperous nation that there has ever been? Have you ever thought about that? What if you were born in Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan? I've seen some of the religious persecution over there. I mean, why do you think there's millions of people all over the world trying to get here? It's because this place is so bad? It is because America is what, a horrible place to live? Seriously, why did God choose to bless you by having you to be born in America, a place where we can gather to worship God freely, a place where the only thing that's keeping us from gathering together as His church is what? Is us. We can gather five times a week if we wanted to. Do you think our brothers and sisters that are living in Afghanistan, when I mean brothers and sisters, I mean brothers and sisters in Christ, because every country you go to, no matter how far flung or how remote, there are Christians there. And they say if you have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food to eat, and a few dollars in your pocket, you're richer than 75% of the people who live in the world. Wow. Why does God choose to bless us? Like, why do we have gifts and abilities? Why did God give us gifts and abilities? Why do you have so much disposable income? Why has life worked out so good for you? Why have you been able to retire so comfortably, in many ways, worry-free? Why were you blessed to hear the good news and be adopted into God's family and be called a child of God? I mean, is it because you are great, amazing, some of you? Other people are not that great or amazing. God is a good father, as the song says, who loves to bless and give to his children. And sure, yeah, that's part of it. But listen, there's a much deeper and far more reaching reason why God chooses to bless you and I, which brings us to our text here in Genesis chapter 12. And let me read it again. And as I do, see if you can uncover this deeper... Thanks, brother. I can tell he was one of the people praying for me this week. I'm just going to read a section of it. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father, your family, and go to the land that I will show to you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, make you famous. The whole world's going to know your name. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Have you ever thought of your life being a blessing to someone else? That God has put you where you're at right now in order to be a blessing to someone else. Did you see it or uncover it as we read those God-breathed words? Whoever blesses you will be blessed, and whoever curses you will be cursed. Why did God choose to bless us, you? So the lives of other people will be blessed through you. You are an instrument that God is going to use to bless somebody else. Now, I think almost everyone would raise their hands and say that they feel that God has blessed their lives with good and awesome things. Is that correct? And we are pretty lucky. The question is each one of us needs to answer the question, are the lives of other people being blessed by your life? Are you a blessing to other people, or do you just kind of float through life and not do anything? Why did God choose to bless you? Next point, what are we going to do about it? Like, what are we going to do in response to God's blessing in our lives? When God blesses you with something, what is our natural response besides jumping up and down and saying amen, right? I mean, we should say, oh, hey, God gave me this. I need to use this to bless somebody else. Let me put it another way. What should you, and what should I do in response to God's incredible blessings in our lives? His desire is that blessings flow through you and bless the lives of the people who your life comes in contact with. Now, I think Abraham and our text can help us out a little bit here. And brothers and sisters, here's the deal. If we want blessings that God has poured into our lives to pour into the lives of other people, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, is what the scripture says. We need to start doing three things, and they all start with the letter L. Figured I'd make it easy for myself. First thing we need to do is leave. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I show you. Abraham was 75 years old when he left. You know, one thing I love about this particular story is that if you ever feel like you're too old or that you've wasted too much time, let too many opportunities slip through your hands, just remember Abraham. I mean, the guy's 75 years old And God says, I want you to pack up all your stuff and go to a land that I'm going to show to you. How many people at 75 are willing to do that? Now look at Moses. How old was Moses when God called Moses back to the nation of Egypt to help rescue his people? How old was he?
80
years old. So when you look around, you say, man, I'm old. Well, I say, if you're still here, God's got something for you to do yet. And understand it's never too late for you to begin living the life that you were created to live. But listen, just as with Abraham, to begin living that life, you first must leave. The first thing you got to do is leave. Now, what do you mean, Pastor John? It may just mean leaving your comfort zone. Getting out of your own way, stop being afraid, and go up to somebody and invite them to church. We need to leave or go across the street or across the town to give somebody a ride to a doctor's appointment. We need to make sure that we get it that the question is exactly who do we need to leave in order for God's blessing to flow through us? What do we need to leave? It's not about you, okay? This whole sermon is not about you. It's about other people. In 2002, there was a book that was written that quickly became a worldwide bestseller. And if you read that book, if so, you'll remember the first four words of that book is, it's not about you. Okay? And then he goes on to say, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You are born by His purpose, for His purpose. The search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. You ever hear people say, well, I need to go find myself. Well, I'll tell you, go look in the mirror. That's you, all right? You found yourself. Now it's time to get to work. We asked self-centered questions like, what do I want to be when I grow up? What should I do with my life? But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose. Do you agree? He goes on, he says, instead you must begin with God, your creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. Thursday, we did a funeral service in here for Andrea. God was done with her. God called her home. When God's done with you, He's going to call you home, or me, or anybody else. If you're still here, you woke up this morning, you were breathing in and out, and your heart was beating, God has got a purpose for you to do here still. It's only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. And understand, brothers and sisters, following Jesus, being His disciple, is totally incompatible with living a life that's centered on ourself. Amen? We cannot be self-centered and follow Jesus. That's about all our wants, our plans, our desires, our agendas, our way, our comfort, and our convenience. All those things need to be set aside for God's purpose, plan, and ideas for what our life should be. And brothers and sisters, here's a few scriptures to back it up. Luke 9, 23 through 25. Then He said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose their soul? How many people have we met in the grocery store, in the line, in other places, and we read in the paper a couple weeks later that they've passed from this earth? And we don't know what their spiritual situation is, was, or could have been. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For it is Christ's love that compels us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For it is Christ's love that compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. What is our purpose? First Baptist Church, Northeast, 43 South Lake Street. If you're sitting in a chair here today, I'm going to ask you the question, what is our purpose? Our purpose is to serve God. What should we be? What should you, what should I do in response to God's incredible blessings in our life? His desire is that these blessings flow through us and bless the lives of other people. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you, he told Abraham. First, we must leave a life in order to start a new one. A life that's centered on us, our wants, our plans, our desires, our agenda, our comfort, and our convenience. And yeah, it can be pretty scary. I remember when God first called me to be a pastor, and I seriously prayed, God, you've got me confused with some other John Stoddard because there's no way I'm becoming a preacher. You can see who won that argument, right? Talk about leaving and going to land you've never been before. I mean, if we're not looking out for us, making sure that our wants, our plans, our desires are satisfied, who will? Like, what might we miss out on? Where will it take us? Do you think Abraham knew where he was going when he left? No. He just packed up his stuff and went. That's why he said Abraham had faith. And understand, it might take us to a place we've never even dreamed of. And what will it look like when we get there to actually live more fully this way? Not self-centered, focused on what God wants in our lives. And I'm not sure of the exact answers to those questions. Because for each and every person in here, it's different. But here is what I do know. That if you choose to take this road, that you are traveling in good company. In your relationships with one another, they have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5-8. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be taken advantage of. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So God was willing to send his son down here to accomplish a purpose. That purpose was what? Our redemption. The redemption of mankind. And what greater purpose can you have in life and making sure that you fulfill that destiny. Listening, we must listen to the instructions that are in the Word of God. And understand listening is much more than simply hearing the Lord's instructions. It's actually doing those instructions. You can read your Bible every single day, but if it doesn't transform your life, it's not doing anything. You say, James 1:2-2, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So when we hear the Bible and we don't do anything about it, we're deceiving ourselves. You say, what a great day at church. I really enjoyed and listened to the message. Yeah, but did you do what it said? You know, I'm afraid that sometimes we think that merely listening and agreeing with the word when it's preached is good enough. Well, it's not. Understand, Abraham listened to the instructions of the Lord, and then in faith and believing and trusting in God, he acted and did what the Lord said. Sort of. I'll get to that in a minute. That is why the God-breathed words are in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. You got your Bibles. Turn to Hebrews. I have so many post-notes stuck in my Bible now, I don't even know where I'm at. Romans, Philippians, Corinthians, Hebrews. Ah, there we go. It's a pink one. All right. 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place where he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Did Abraham ever get to see the promise? He got to see what? A son. A son born when he was 100. That's pretty awesome. I don't know if I want to be raising a kid at 100 years old, but hey, you know, maybe he had a little more spunk than I did. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He was looking for the city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. What are you expecting from your life? Abraham listened to the word of God, and understand, throughout Genesis, we see God speaking to Abraham. Now, sometimes God would take on a physical appearance, and sometimes, like in Genesis 15, the word came to the Lord, word came to Abraham in a vision. But brothers and sisters, I seriously doubt God will speak his word to you in that same way. It would be pretty cool, but I don't think it's going to be happening. So then, how can we hear and listen to the word such that we have faith and act on that faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to have faith unless you hear it from God's word. You have to read this book, and there's no exceptions. All right? Great books by great Christian leaders are fine. But if you're starving for what's inside of here, you're going to be malnutrition. Accept no substitute or excuses. And there really is no excuse. Besides, how will we know what to do and where to go without God's instructions? I struggled this week. I had such a hard time. And I was wondering myself, is there a way that we can have our own by faith statements? By faith, he did this. By faith, he did that. What should we, what should you, what should I do in response to God's incredible blessings in our lives? His desire that the blessings flow through you and bless the lives of other people. Are you a blessing to the people who are around you? First, we must leave a life that's centered on and around us, our wants, our plans, our desires. Second, we must listen. Listen to the words and instructions of the Lord by faith and do what he says. Love. Love is the second word. Listen, love. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, hang the prophets. No, it means everything in the Old Testament. All the law, the book of the law, and the book of the prophets hangs on these two commandments. Matthew 22:37-40. Why did God choose to bless our lives? So that he can bless the lives of other people around through us. All the families of the earth can be blessed through God's children. Not just the ones sitting in this room today, but Christians all over the world. Questions, what are we going to do about it? Like, what should be my response? And yours to leave, to listen, and to love. And now, it's wrap-up time. Hope you took the under bet today. And now it's time to wrap up with the final point. Maybe I can tweak it out and get close to 45 minutes. When will we act? When will we act? I know there's people that have been going to this church for decades, some 40, 50 years. And once again, will we grab a little from Abraham and from his call? You know, there's something interesting and it's easy for us to miss out on. You know, we actually refer to Genesis chapter 12 as the call of Abraham. The call of Abraham. And in fact, every Bible I looked at, in the title right over Genesis chapter 12, it said the call of Abraham. Every Bible I read had this title for the section printed right above the chapter. But do you know what that God called Abraham prior to the words that we read in Genesis chapter 12? And check this out, because I think there's a more powerful lesson for each of us here. Question: where was Abraham living when God called him the first time, and why did God have to call him again? Anybody know where Abraham was living?
Ur of Chaldees.
Ur of Chaldees, all right?
The Babylon, essentially, or the beginning of Babylon?
For the most part, yep. The map's changed quite a bit in the last 2,000 years, but yeah, basically. Does anyone know what's going down in Acts chapter 7? Stephen's about to get stoned. And he's been seized and brought before the Sanhedrin. And if you think of the Sanhedrin, kind of like the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. And why was he seized and brought before them? Because he was preaching about Jesus, and then some of the Jewish leaders began to argue with him. And they found they could not stand up to his wisdom or his spirit by which he spoke. So, what do you do when you're losing a debate of truth, ideas, and rational thinking? You stir up the masses. You shut them down. You drum up some false accusations against him. And that's what they did. And we read in Acts chapter 7, which is a powerful summary of the Old Testament. It says, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said, 'Leave your country and your people,' God said, 'and go to the land that I will show you.' So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran." Does anybody know where Haran is? All right. What does it sound like? Haran sounds like Iran. There you go. You're getting it. So he left and went to a place called Haran. Well, that wasn't the promised land. And God had to call him again and said, "Hey, now that your father's died, it's time for you to get up and finish your mission. Finish the job that I have for you." He was called where? To the land that I've chosen for you. Where did he settle? Haran. Listen, when we back up to the book of Genesis chapter 11, it says Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Did they make it? No. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Genesis 11:31. God called them to go to one place. They got halfway there and they stopped. But then Stephen continued. "After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot upon. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no children." Acts 7:4-5. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. Genesis 11:31. Okay, so while living in Ur, the Chaldeans, Abraham's called to leave and go to the land of Canaan. He travels 600 miles and decides to settle in Haran. Well, where did God call him to go? Somewhere else. That was not where God called him to settle. So why did he choose to settle there? We really don't know, because the Bible doesn't say. However, I'm sure his excuses were as plentiful as ours can be sometimes. When God calls us to do something and we say, it's not in my near future, but as soon as I get enough money saved up, I'll go. Bottom line, in Genesis 11, we see Abraham falling short in his calling and settling in the land of Haran. And so Genesis chapter 12 opens up. We see God calling him out again, telling him, I need you to finish your journey. My question is your journey finished? Are you where God has called you to be? Or are you halfway there? And you decided this is good enough and I'm going to settle here. That's the question. God's saying, I need you to finish your journey. And it's signed at the bottom, the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, I was wondering this morning if God would say the same thing to us in this room or even to the people that are going to be listening to this online. I need you to finish your journey because you are not yet who or where I want you to be. You're not done growing yet. I did not call you to settle in a land where life is still, for the most part, and is still centered on and about you. Why did God choose to bless your life? So that He can bless the lives of other people through you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So what are you going to do about it? What should be my response and yours? To leave, to listen, and to love. When will you act? I would like to close with a quote from the book Wide Awake, written by Erwin McManus. I read this book about 12 years ago, and I kind of forgot all about it until I started working on this message. In a chapter called Discover, and he's talking about the call of Abraham. I wonder if you just settled because this happens to be where you are. It's important to ask, why are you doing what you're doing? Do you have a career or a calling? Are you here by accident or by intention? I understand needing to pay the bills. I get that there are times and circumstances where the best thing you can do is your best at whatever you are doing. And there are those who do well to simply make it through the day. The question remains, though, are you living up to your calling? Are you maximizing your God-given opportunities? Abraham was called out to greatness, and he changed not only his lives, but the lives of generations and generations afterwards. Ironically, those who don't have the opportunity to live a life worth dreaming need you to pursue great dreams for them. They need you to live up to your opportunity so they might have one. Think about it. You can change the life of other people. What do you think of them, those boxes? Operation Christmas Child. Do you think lives are changed through those boxes? The world cannot afford for you to choose average or easy. Don't let the routine of life put you in a rut. And I was in a rut for a long time. So I'm not pointing fingers at you that I'm not, you know, when you point your finger at somebody else, there's three pointing back at you. And trust me, I gotta eat this message before I give it to you. So understand, if you've been in a rut for a while, if you need to, maybe you need to spend some more time in your Bible, maybe you start asking God the question, what do you need me to do? Do you need me to teach a Sunday school? Do you need me to ask somebody to church or to Bible study or prayer group on Wednesday? What is it that God wants you to do? It is probably different for everybody in this room, but you need to be doing something for the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right.
I got a question.
I got an answer.
I just recently started coming here, understanding that you guys have fire. What's going on? What can I do to help?
That's a very good question. Right now we're waiting pretty much for bids to come in for the reconstruction, but there's always plenty of work here to do. If you get with me or somebody on the leadership council, we can always steer you in a direction and put you to work.
If you got the materials and tools, I got the know-how.
Well, insurance will be paying for it, and contractors will be doing that. But there's plenty of work to be done around here in the meantime. Now I'd like to pray. And this, I'm going to open up with prayer. And if anybody else, excuse me, would like to pray also, I'm going to open up and I'm going to close. But if anybody feels led to pray in the meantime, I would encourage you to do so. When we have about 10 seconds of silence, I'll close us. So let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come here and to worship you. And Lord, I know that all these messages aren't easy, and not all of them are fun, but I would be negligent if I did not preach the word that you gave to me. So Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless this church family. I ask that you stir up in us the need to keep our eyes focused on you. The Bible says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and turns away is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, may that never be said of us. May we always be looking forward to you, to the author and the finisher of our faith, to the one who came and died on the cross so that we could be adopted into God's family. But Lord, now we're in your family, and we're looking for something to do. If we're not busy already, Lord, stir in our hearts the fact that we need to get busy. This church could be a beacon of light to the neighborhood around us, to the community around us, to the county around us. And all we need is your direction, Lord, in each and every person's heart. So, Lord, I just ask now that the people of the church lift up their prayers to you, and we'll give you all the praise.
Lord, we're sitting in the gym and worshiping, Lord God. We're so thankful. We have new people here. Praise you, Lord, that you are faithful to us and we're faithful to you. Help us to be better for your name's sake.
Amen.
You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Praise your holy name.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we are one body in many parts. I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will speak to each individual as to what you want us to do with our lives for kingdom purposes, Lord. Father, thank you for gifting us so that we can do these things.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to take this time to thank you on behalf of this entire church and the folks around us that are in and out of our communities. I thank you for the hedge of protection that you bestow around us, the divine protection that you bestow around us during these hard times around the world. I ask only that you give, just bring peace upon us all and continue to protect us as you do and lead us in an everyday aspect of how we can help spread your love. I thank you, Father God, for the things that you bless me with on a daily basis. I know I don't have much, and I don't get to go out much. I'm still a father at home, and I ask you to utilize my time and
amen. Lord, as it was said, we are many parts of the same body. There's hands and feet, eyes and ears, and many other parts that make the whole body work, as long as everybody's doing their part. So Lord, I just ask that you help us find our spiritual gifts and put them to work, not for our glory, but for yours, as a glorious hallelujah to Jesus Christ's death on the cross, our forgiveness and adoption into your family. And through this, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. All right, John, you want to come up here before I fall down?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears released. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come.
Was grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
All right, church. For those of you who are placing bets, 40 minutes and 38 seconds. Now, don't take today wrong. Today was just as much for me as it was for you. I have to preach to myself before I preach to you, and I kept asking myself all this.